Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Eat, Drink, and Be Merry show, where we love to talk about food, drink, recipes, and techniques, and where to shop, taste, and play. Let's go. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Eat, Drink, and Be Merry show. And a lot of times when we talk about eat, drink, and be merry, we kind of think about those giant turkeys and pigs on a table and goblets of wine. But what about eating plant-based? You can still eat, drink, and be merry and be a plant-based eater. So we're going to talk about that. We have a plant-based expert. Also, she is a world traveler. She's a yoga instructor and a foodie. She loves food and she loves having a healthy life. Her name is Yesenia Curry, and she's joining us to talk about her new cookbook that is coming out March 1st, 2024. So if you're listening to this beforehand, it's available for pre-order. If you're listening to it after March 1st, well, good for you. It's out. Go get it. Anyway, the book is called Sweet and Savory Life, Simple Flavor-Filled Plant-Based Recipes to Nourish Mind, Body, and Spirit. And you can also go to Yesenia's website. It's yeseniacurry.com, and that's YESENIACURRIE. There's no Y on that, Curry. But welcome, Yesenia. How are you?
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm so good, Lisa. Thank you for having me. Glad to be on the show.
We're excited about this. We thought you were going to be in like a yoga pose for us.
Right. I can channel that.
Yeah, no, I love this. I know we're talking right after the holiday season. I think it's so interesting about the holiday season because there's like people are going, oh my gosh, here comes the vegan. And it's like, what do I do? So I want to touch on that with your book, Sweet and Savory Life, that you don't have to be a vegan to enjoy this. It's actually a beautiful stepping stone to get in the kitchen and enjoy and explore, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I talk about that in the book as well, that this book is not just for vegetarians or vegans or people that are veggie curious, but it's for everyone. It's good food that just... Mm-hmm. By default is healthy. And I think, so it's what was important for me was the fusion of nutrition and flavor. I'm a foodie at heart, even before I wasn't plant-based. And so I really enjoy my food, the colors, the flavors, the textures. And so that's important. And so I think you can, you know, it's important that whether you're a carnivore, or whether you're a pescatarian or keto or paleo, you can find something of value in this book, and you can tailor it to your specific needs as well.
Well, when you went vegan, you just kind of had that aha moment to do it. And what was interesting is your family stepped up to do it with you, which is kind of, that's a, like, how many times that didn't happen for me.
Listen, I was so blessed and so fortunate to have the support of my husband at the time. My kids were small. They were school age at the time, 7 and 9. And thankfully, they were never really picky eaters. So they would just kind of go with the flow. As long as it was good, then they went with it. When it happened for me, I told my husband about it, and my expectation was that I said, listen, we don't have to go all in. We don't have to go cold turkey, no pun intended. We can go step by step, little by little, and you know, wean into it. And you know, he was excited. He's like, "No, let's go all in. Like, I want to support you, and I want to do it." And so we did. And it was a little bit of a challenge at the beginning, so sort of trying to navigate. Okay, how do we do this? But eventually, you know, with some time, I got my footing and got excited about cooking and playing with different flavors and putting things together that were enjoyable for the whole family. So.
Yeah. Didn't your taste kind of change too about what you kind of like you started? I mean, I remember being vegan and I did it because and getting into Ayurveda and all these amazing things where I actually needed to detox like my body. Cause when we got back to this country, all these allergies I had as a kid came back. And when I lived overseas, didn't have all these issues. And I didn't realize we had so many additives. I didn't know that's part of what was getting me is like, you know, you could go have a ham sandwich somewhere, but like in the places I don't even think we ate that much ham now that I think of it, but like you just couldn't, there were things that were going on, like inflammation. And it was just, what is going on with my body ever since we landed? It's like all of a sudden you've doubled in size. This is not normal. So it was like this process of elimination. And I got into cooking and I lost weight. The inflammation went away. I had like actual muscle tone. Like, wow. You know, I was healthy. And then stupidly, I got lazy. I started buying all the packaged things, and then I actually got worse than where I was when beforehand. So I think having a cookbook and having a cookbook that understands health and is fun to read and gets you to experiment is really cool. It would I needed you, man. Where were you? You
Listen,
know?
no, I totally get it. Like, it's funny. I always talk about being vegan doesn't necessarily equate to healthy. Especially when you're starting out, it can be really, really easy to fall back on the convenience products, the plant-based meats and cheeses,
The
right? All of those things.
pastas.
They can be fun additions. But to be the sort of the base of what you're eating is not sustainable. So yeah, the focus is on real whole foods throughout the entire book, and that's life-giving foods. You know what I mean? The quality, I talk in the book about the importance of the quality of the foods that we have, that we eat, and doing the best with what you have where you are. So if you can buy organic, buy organic, buy the best quality food that's available to you where you are. But also don't beat yourself up about it. Give yourself grace, you know.
Yeah, my taste changed. Like
Yeah.
instead of, and I love cheese, but I got into lemon pepper became my friend, and lemon and vinegars, vinaigrettes became like my friend suddenly. Like even if it was a baked potato, because basically anywhere I went, it was like, here's your French fries. If you're lucky, you get sourdough toast, and then you can't eat the butter because you know it's just bad
Yeah.
stuff in it, right? Or like, you know, and then it would be okay. I got the baked potato. I'm just gonna put balsamic vinegar because you could get that at any restaurant, you know. So I kind of my mouth changed the texture. It just completely changed. So for you, did you have that journey of taste change?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think several times over throughout, I've been doing this for almost 14 years now. Throughout the years, people have asked periodically, "Do you miss, dairy, meat, or do you miss?" And I'm like, "No, I don't feel like it doesn't feel like I'm missing out on anything. It feels it yeah, it's hard to explain in some ways in terms of like the flavor profiles of things have just changed. And I think a lot of that, like you were talking about, the detox effect, when when you put better fuel in your body, your body starts to crave different things, and it no longer feels like it needs processed foods, refined sugar.
Sugars.
Those kinds of things don't appeal to you anymore. I went back, I was in the mood for something sweet, and I went by the store and I grabbed like a cake. It was a vegan cupcake. But it was when I ate it, it didn't do the same thing that it did for me before, and it was just like really, really sweet and not really satiating. And so, eventually, I grew to a point where I wasn't even buying like snacks outside. I was making stuff at home because I enjoyed it more, and I knew what I was putting into my food. I knew that there weren't any hidden food-like substances in the food, that I was
And you
making.
can have a second cookie if you want.
Right.
You
Yeah.
can't.
Right. You can indulge a little bit more guilt-free, right?
That's how I looked at it. I mean, and it is. I mean, we pretty much are plant-based mostly. And then once in a while, it's like, okay, and we travel. So traveling is a whole interesting thing. And that's something I'm going to bring up because, you know, it's like, oh, how can you be that? You can. It is possible, and but it's got to be part of your life process. And so I think that's what's interesting about what you bring in is this is kind of a lifestyle. It's not a specific diet, it's a lifestyle. But you can, you know, leave it or take it, you know, as much as you want, right? Like we're saying, you know. But you've done all these world travels. I know the two of you and your family have over 45 countries now, which is exciting. But I feel like the flavors that come from these different countries and cultures, and there's a lot of veganism in different countries because meat
Yeah.
is a luxury in a lot of countries, right?
Absolutely.
So,
Absolutely.
has that influenced your cooking?
Yeah, so you said that, especially in Southeast Asian countries, there's a lot of just sort of by default vegetarian options. Yeah, it's funny, traveling the world. We've got to sample so much delicious cuisine. And it's funny because these places have influenced the way that I cook, but not in the traditional way that you would think. So it's not from a place of, oh, I'm going to whip up this curry or try to make this specific regional dish. For me, it more so this leaves an impression. I pay attention to the textures, the flavors, the consistency. And so it's very experiential for me. And so I'm thinking, okay, how can I, not like how can I recreate this, but how can, or not how I can make this identical dish, but how can I put my spin on it? Or so it's more of inspiration, the duplication, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
It's kind of infused this into, you know, like, I think I'm sorry about your last name, but everything's curry and chili to me. Like, everything gets curried up a little bit, you know. Yeah, to me, it's like, there's nothing like putting turmeric in everything. And I want those colors. And I feel like internationally, we did really well in regards to eating the colors of the rainbow. That wasn't a deal at the time. It was just the way it was.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good point too, is having, you know, spices and different colors in your food to make sure that it's healthy. You're eating the rainbow vegetables. Mm. That is. Yeah.
So you actually went and studied nutrition, getting into all of this. You're like, okay, if I'm going all in, now I'm going to go study. Yeah. So when we're looking at these recipes, you know that these are good for us. Like, we can eat the chocolate brownies, and we're going to publish the recipe, right? These truffles, chocolate covered brownie truffle bites. Now, everyone, think about this. When you think vegan, this is not the first thing you think of. And I'm assuming dark chocolate is involved in this.
It is. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yay.
Love me some dark chocolate. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm. So, yeah, so nutrition-wise, dark chocolate is okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The dark chocolate's okay. Good for you. It's really beneficial. I think the sweeteners that you're using, making sure that you're using unrefined sugars and sweeteners like maple syrup or dates, things of that nature, as opposed to the other not-so-healthy options. You were talking about the holistic... the culinary training, that was really important for me to incorporate. Helped to incorporate the conscious cooking, the conscious part of cooking and healthy eating, so that it's not just about eating good food, but also just the fusion of the two is really important. So,
yeah, understanding and. But then also you talk about consciousness in your cooking too, like cooking with love and having intent, positive intent. So it's not like wolf it down. It's kind of like sipping wine, right? Good wine. And you can get vegan wines too.
You can. You certainly can. Yeah, that's important. cooking with love and intention. So it's not, I talk about in the book that it's not enough to just cook well. You know, it's important how you feel, the mood that you're in, because you're essentially pouring that into the food mm-hmm. that you're cooking, the energy and the state of being that you are embodying, mm-hmm. essentially. So you want to kind of be in a good space, mind, body, and spirit when you're making food for you and your loved ones. Mm-hmm. You know, it affects
also,
the meal that you have.
You seem to have a lot of don't beat yourself down, like you allow yourself to be yourself, you know.
Absolutely.
If you've dirtied your kitchen or you haven't been, you know, perfectly vegan, so move on. Like, don't.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I talk about in the book, I talk about creating a sacred space in the kitchen. And that was huge for me because I wasn't really organized in the kitchen by nature. I was like, you know, going from cabinet to cabinet and making messes and grabbing this, a little bit of that. And there were messes all over the place. And then at the end of the meal, I'm like, okay, and I have this big mess I got to clean up. But it was a really important principle for me to start incorporating, because it helped me to not have so much chaos in the kitchen and to kind of make it you know, with incense and not just keeping it clean, but, you know, incorporating that into, you know, my cabinets and my cooking space, so that it just, it just amplifies and elevates, you know, the vibe, the environment, and makes me inspired and more excited to be doing what I'm doing, to make my meal. You know what I mean? So
yeah, and it's fun because if you start getting all like about it, and if you're like, oh no, I made this huge mess, now it's kind of ruined all the work that went into it and the fun of eating it. You know, so it's
the balance of it for sure. Like you said, I don't beat myself up about it. I have days where, you know, everything is really good and I have a good system in place. And I have days like, you know, we're human, where it, you know, it's chaos, but you know, that's the balance of it. As long as it's more, you know,
Can go to bed without putting your dishes away. You know, you can sometimes just start over the next day, you know, or have a glass of that vegan wine. And actually, talking about veganism, I think that, you know, looking at it's the quality of the products like you were talking about, because that was one thing I learned very quickly is don't start frying everything. Hydrogenated oils and refined sugars, which all of this stuff I didn't even think of, look at before. I just went, oh, you know, I started looking at salad dressings, that it was better to make my own than just buy, you know, a salad dressing. Even if it was vegan, it wasn't necessarily good for me.
Absolutely. It's funny, when one of the recipes in the book, the Glorious Greens, which is kind of like a salad recipe, but even better, and really simple to put together. I talk about how when I used to go to the grocery store and look for salad dressings, and I'm a label reader because I'm really conscious about what I'm putting in my body. And so I'm reading the labels at the grocery store and I'm like, yeah, that's a lot of stuff that I can't pronounce or that doesn't seem like it's healthy for me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I went home and decided, okay, let me put some things together and see what I can, you know, what I can create, and stumbled on something. And so that recipe's in the book for that reason. That was sort of an accidental, I could kind of put this together and this works. But it's real wholesome ingredients that are actual food and not, you know, again, food like substances, you know, putting weird things in our body, sugar, extra sugar. You know how much sugar is in, you know, standard dressing,
just salad dressing, or even pickles, the sodium and stuff like that, you know. You know, it's good to eat fermented food, but it's like better to ferment it yourself.
Right.
Because it's kind of dangerous in there. One thing I do want to touch on, two things actually, is protein is a big deal, because that's what, you know, the first thing people are going, well, how are you going to get protein if you don't eat eggs? I'm going, like, as far as I always knew, like, beans have tons of protein. There's different ways. And how much protein do we need? Is that kind of a myth? And I know this is an old school question, but I know it's not out of style yet to ask.
Yeah, it's so funny that it still continues to come up. It's there's protein actually in a lot of things that we eat that outside of meat. There's a lot of protein in vegetables and plant-based food in general. But I get it in my beans and lentils, nuts and seeds, everything that we eat, avocados, the vegetables, everything has, you know, some have a little bit more. Broccoli's got a lot of protein in it. A lot of people are surprised to hear that. Lots of, and diversity is key. So again, if you're eating, you know, heavy on the carbohydrates or refined carbohydrates, then you're not getting, you know, you're not getting a lot nutritionally there. So, you know, eating real whole food, you know, fruits and vegetables and grains and,
That refined word is just such a, it's don't fall for that gimmick, because it's not finer. It's not. And even when you look at pastas, they have, oh, here's this vegetable pasta, go read the ingredients. It's like, here's a little splash of dye. Let's just, you know, no, we added one carrot, like, and split it up amongst thousands of boxes. And then, you know, you got an orange piece of pasta or this hideous green that looks dead. And then, you know, so there's some good things out there, I know, but I just always go, like, eventually, like, not doing it yourself, you down the road, we're going to find out some of these things that we think are safe are not safe. We're going to find out. I mean, I found out in the really hard way. I almost got like an autoimmune disease over it, because like my hair was falling out. It was bad. It was like, it was all, I was allergic to the soy that they put in everything. And I didn't, that did it, like, boom, out. And so, yeah, you have to get to know your body. And I like the step-by-step process of experimenting, so you can start finding your way and not just go, okay, that's it.
Yeah, it's, I talk in the book about listening to your body and the importance of that in so many ways. And it sounds like that's what you did, with, you know, as it relates to the soy. You were having a reaction, you know, and have maybe doing an
Don't
elimination.
get those burgers, man. You don't know what's in them.
Yeah, listen, again, that's why I fall back onto those convenience foods that can be fine every now and again, but not, again, not sustainable for everyday
How do
eating.
you travel? How do you travel? And that's the other thing, because I was talking about the protein.
Yeah.
It's like people would go, oh, you know, I know a bunch of athletes who are vegan and healthier. And I know like musicians, we do so many musician interviews, and the rock and roll lifestyle is kind of out the window now. They're having green smoothies before they do a show, you
Yeah.
know, brush your teeth so you don't have green in there before you do the show kind of thing. But they're healthy and can keep up that stamina, right? So this thing that you don't have good health is bogus completely, like, you know, so to
I was
keep
going to say that.
stamina going.
I was going to say that, you know, with traveling, planning is key. So, you know, planning, you know, knowing in advance where you're going, if you can, and kind of, we usually will, try to look up restaurants that are in the area, and then maybe try to see if we can find little organic shops or small, whole food, grocery places that we can find that we need to sort of fill in the gaps. Thankfully, we've been blessed in that we've been able to find really good food. Some places better than others. You know, we work with what we have. You know, we're we you know we're blessed to
Kind of
be
like a cool challenge. Yeah.
able. Yeah, right.
And you can make your own snacks. That's the other thing too. That's kind of.
And we've met a lot of really amazing people, beautiful people along the way too, that opened up their own mom and pop vegan restaurants and so many different places, and they share their stories and their vegan journey, and they make amazing food, and we're always, we feel like family. We feel like they're adopted family for the time that we're there. We're like, yes, so we get this good, you know, wholesome food while we're here to nourish us. So yeah.
And then when you go home, you've got like, okay, I want to try and work with what I just tasted, something new to.
Yeah, different things that stay with me. Sometimes my husband will be eating something and he's like, I think you can do this, or I think you can do something like that. And I'm like, I'm thinking, you know, but yeah, that and that's the fun of it, is to be, you know, to be inspired. I talk in the book about culinary alchemy, and it's really just about allowing yourself to play, to experiment in the kitchen, you know. And that's, you know, a little bit of that. Let me try this. Let me see what this. Your palate should be your guide. You know, the recipes are good as the guideline, but your taste buds and your palate should be the guide all the way, you know. And that's what at least that for me, that's what made it fun in the kitchen for me, was experimenting, you know.
And what about your kids getting involved with this? Because, you know, there's also like, oh, don't, you know, make your kids vegan and all of that. So, you know, it is is there any inspiration in getting them to learn to cook for themselves too through doing this? And
Yeah,
tasting, you know.
right, exactly. Sure. Yeah. They. It's funny because they. Like I said, they've never really been super picky eaters, thankfully. So they've always tried things. I talk in the book about being guilty of sneaking vegetables into my kids' food sometimes. Like, I put green peas. I share a story about putting green peas in their chocolate smoothies before, like the chocolate banana smoothie, frozen green peas, and they were none the wiser. You couldn't taste it. You know, it was completely undetectable. And they would find out after the fact and be like, wait,
Dude,
you put peas in the smoothie? But it was really good. And so, you know, for them, it was just about, okay, it tasted good though, right? I think with going plant-based, it was really important to model a healthy lifestyle for the kids. I wanted to sort of plant seeds while they were young and show them that they can eat good food and that can taste good too, you know, especially when you're school age and then moving into junior high, you can be influenced by your friends
Uh-oh, and then
and
college.
fast food
Uh-oh.
culture, right? Fast food culture, and
Oh,
people
yeah.
want to eat. And I'm like, listen, that's okay, but you know, they know that they can eat good, and they can eat food that will love their body back, that won't make them feel bloated and won't make them feel bad.
Yeah.
And health, you know, for me, health was the biggest reason that I decided to go plant-based vegan. I didn't want to wait to get a diagnosis. I didn't want to wait to get have to deal with an unfortunate disease or ailment. And so I wanted to take it into my own hands and start to change how I eat and how I live. And I wanted to be able to pass that on to our children as well. There's an expression, more is caught than taught, you know. Actions speak louder than words. Our kids, they model what they see us do. And so I wanted to show them how to do it. And my hope is that I'm planting seeds and that they'll be able to take that with them as they get older and then hopefully pass that on to their children and their children. So.
Cool. No, I think that's cool. It gives, you know, a foundation, you know, and I think this whole part of it, I mean, our country has such the autoimmune disease thing is insane, but growing up in other countries, we didn't have this, you know, that I noticed. I think South Africa started to get a little bit Americanized, you know, Westernized, but in Kenya, man, I mean, as soon as we got there, my breathing cleared up as a little kid. I you know, and just eating the local foods, and I don't know if it was the vegetables were cleaner without pesticides. And so it's really, this is like a way of life. It's not just I'm vegan. It is, you know, incorporating these methods in whether or not you're eating meat. I mean, we don't need meat every single day. You just, your body doesn't, you know, it just, yeah, we've done so many shows on and with doctors and things like that, where they're like, really, I'm healthy and fine, you know, and I eat like a pig, you know, they're like, look, and I'm healthy, you know, and heart disease. I think that's the other thing. We have a lot of heart disease and it does help with your blood sugar, you know, and just your whole, it's just good for you. So I think as we can do it, we should, you know,
absolutely.
That's my opinion. You know, what do I know?
Yeah.
I do want to ask you this. Okay. You're going to have a vegan dinner party. All right. And you're going to invite three people alive or passed on. Ooh, three people. Anyone.
Okay.
Who would you want to like have down at the table? And what are you going to serve? Let's figure out who's coming first and then what you're going to serve. Yeah. Let's have a dinner party. We're going to eat, drink, be merry. I want people to know it can be fun.
I like that. Three people. Anybody?
It'd be a character from a movie. I don't care. Like,
I
who do you
know,
want to
right?
hang out with?
Oh, man. Let's see. Well, my husband would have to be there for sure because he's like one of my
Yeah,
best
he's gonna be helping you too. So don't worry. He's already counted
Is
in.
he one of those? He's already counted in. Okay.
Yeah, and your family, your kids, everyone's in there. But like now, you know what
But
I
like
mean.
other
Yeah.
people. Okay. You know, I'm really into the Renaissance album by Beyonce. So it would have to be Beyonce. It would be one of them.
Sir Lemonade. Without refined sugar.
Right. Let's see. I just thought of the color purple. So let's go Oprah. And then Zoe Saldana came to mind really that quickly.
No, well, then, yeah.
That's a three beautiful, strong women.
I was going to say, yeah, that's like kind of a power core going on here. Oh,
Yeah.
wow. Yeah, I have to play Renaissance in the background. That'll have to be music, right?
A little
You need
mood
to have
music,
that.
right?
Yeah. And then what is going to be served? Can we have wine? Because I'm going to be a fly on the wall. And there's a fly buzzing around here. I'm like swatting at it as we're talking. I'm like, what? It's winter. What are you doing?
Yeah, you absolutely, you can. I'm a firm believer in most things in moderation.
Sure.
I
Yeah,
like the
you
clean. I
can't
like,
drink too much
Try to
wine
have
when
a
you're
little.
vegan.
I try to lean towards the clean, sugar-free, organic, vegan versions. They have really Dry Wine Farms has some really good ones. No affiliation, but you know, if you're curious about that. But yeah, you can have a little wine with it if you choose. But the meal plan, I usually like to go based on like the season, you know, based on what's growing in the area.
So spring, because this is your book party. This is part of a book party.
Yes,
Yeah.
I would probably do. You said that, and it just came to me. I would probably do the creamy kelp noodle pasta. That's it's so good. So it's, the base is kelp noodles, and it's got a fun mix of heirloom tomatoes, a mix called like the orange and yellow and red heirloom tomatoes. It has onions, it's got ginger, it's
Ooh.
just, it's bursting, it's bursting full of flavor. I'm seeing it in my head right now. It's got some basil as garnish, a little bit of coconut. It's just a lot of surprising flavors, but really, really unexpected and
And it
nothing.
sounds light. It doesn't sound too heavy.
Yes, you bring up a good point. It's very light, but very satiating. And not like any traditional pasta that you've had in the best of ways. It's one of my favorite pasta dishes in the book, as a matter of fact. So that would be the base. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, cool.
Maybe with maybe some stuffed mushrooms. I have a stuffed mushroom recipe in the book, so probably have
I'm
that
into that.
as a fun hors d'oeuvre. Yes.
Bring the stuffed mushrooms to me. That's I'm in 100%. And then we can end with the truffles, the
I will
chocolate
end with
truffles.
the truffles. That's perfect. I like that. It's a nice,
Cool.
well-rounded meal for sure. And we'll
And
start
pork.
with glorious greens because you can never have too much greens. Never
No,
have too
you can't.
much. Yes.
Yeah. No. Now, do you grow your own vegetables at all?
I
Or you?
don't. I wish I had a green thumb, but I don't. And yeah, but I try to find, local farmers market or whatever,
Yeah.
the best place that I can find, fresh is
As
best.
fresh as possible. Yeah. When you have something wilting in the bottom of the fridge, it just,
Oh yeah.
I can almost feel my stomach going,
That's not appealing, not appetizing.
No. And then it, no, don't do that. But thank you so much, Yesenia. This has been a blast talking with you. You've
Oh,
inspired me, By the time your book's out, I'll probably be back on that track, So very cool. It's very good having you on the show. Very excited for your book. Everyone, again, YeseniaCurry.com is the website. The link's in the show notes. Watch for it out on Amazon, all those great places. And we're going to have that recipe link in the show notes as well. Thank you so much.
listen, the goal is to make veggies cool again. So that's
Let's
the hope.
rock it. Let's
I
rock it with Rocket.
like that. I appreciate you having me, Lisa. Thank you so much.
Take care. Thanks for joining us here on Big Blend Radio's Eat, Drink, and Be Merry show. Keep up with our podcasts at bigblendradio.com and our magazines at bigblendmagazines.com.